Welcome everybody to another episode of the Knicks Mail.Bag. This is episode 41. I am joined today by Drew, aka Doug. Doug, what's going on?
Not much. Just got home. Have a nice glass of water with me, and I'm ready to answer mailbag questions for our patrons.
Nice. Nice glass of water. Getting the evening started off right.
That's what you got. You got to hydrate before the Knicks game, you know.
Right. Gotta make sure you're staying hydrated. But before we get started, I do need to mention Strickland does have a Patreon now. You can find it at patreon.com/thestrickland or on our homepage at thestrick.land. Pot Strickland on Monday is still free. Draft Strickland is still free. Alex, Zach, and Matt's mail.bag is still free. And we will likely be adding another free podcast to the lineup at some point. Also, if you subscribe to the Patreon $9 tier or above, you will get access to my solo podcast and also exclusive weekly articles from both Jack Huntley and Matthew Miranda, two of the best Knicks writers and flat-out basketball writers out there today. If you want even more access to us, you can join the $15, $30, $50, or $100 tiers, which include a ton of benefits, ranging from watch parties, sitting in on pod recordings, guest appearances on podcasts, and even potentially hosting a podcast alongside yourself. Alongside myself, I guess I should say. But no matter what, if you're a Patreon patron or not, we thank you for your support. None of this would be possible without you. And without further ado, let's get back to the podcast. All right, let's get started. First question. This one is from Prigioni MVP Agenda. With the extra size slash defense in the starting lineup and some minutes on the bench freed up, do you think Obi gets the biggest minutes bump, or do you think it'll be someone else? Or do you think it'll be someone else? Maybe Grimes.
It's probably going to be Grimes. I don't really see Obi getting like a huge minute bump unless we've heard Tibbs on the on like post game stuff being like Obi needs to rebound a little better. So until like that happens, I think he's going to really stick to him. Obi playing the four. He doesn't really want Randall being the five too much. I think there could be some games where that will happen, but I feel like Grimes is going to get the uptick than anyone else, because we're assuming that Kemba Walker is like out of the rotation. So that means they may cut the rotation shorter in terms of the guards, but if they want to keep it a 10-man rotation, Grimes is going to get the minutes.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I will say that he said a few things in that press conference related to Kemba. He said he wanted to keep things largely the same from what they had done against Atlanta. But obviously, Rose didn't play that game. Neither did Noel Noel didn't play, and Taj was out also. You know, those are, you know, we'll see how that all works out when they're all healthy. But like, that would indicate some level of trust in Grimes if he wants to keep things the same from that game. But he also mentioned tightening it up. So I don't know what that means. Does that mean that Grimes is like the situational guy who will play every now and then when he feels like we need whatever it is that he brings, which, you know, defense, 3-point shooting, rebounding, whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I think he's like the obvious kind of candidate there. You know, the Obi thing is interesting because, like you said, Tibbs has hinted at it multiple times that it seems to be more about rebounding now than it is about necessarily rim protection. I do think Obi has been rebounding a little bit better lately, at least more actively. He's still obviously susceptible to getting boxed out, I guess. I don't even know if that's the right term. Not necessarily getting boxed out, but he's susceptible to getting kind of pushed out of position. But yeah, I mean, it's probably one of those two guys because I don't know if Quickley can really, like, I mean, I guess he could play more. He probably will play more now. Rose obviously could play more, but like those are the two guys, Obi and Grimes, that you would kind of figure are most likely to see a minutes bump. It's really hard. I mean, again, Quickley could be the other guy, but I tend to agree with you. I think it'll be Grimes. But Obi, yeah, possibly. you know, if he keeps playing at the level he's playing at, rebounds a little bit better, I think he's going to force Tibbs' hand. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, because unless there's going to be, like, minutes cutting for Rose, right? Because we're assuming that Rose is going to come back, like, as the backup point guard in the rotation when he's healthy. So, like, unless they're cutting Rose minutes, I don't see quickly, like, getting a bump unless there's, like, an active cut or an injury. So it has to be one of, like, those two because Rose is coming in. What's, I think it's going to be interesting if the plan is going to be more like the Hawks game is going to be how much switching he's going to do with Rose. I think Rose will be fine with the switching defense, but it will be interesting to watch how that unfolds during the regular season with Rose potentially switching out to different people.
Yeah, definitely agree with you there. All right, next question. This one is from editor-in-chief himself, Alex Wolf. If you could hit the undo button on one move the Knicks have made thus far in the Leon era, could be a front office move, Tibbs decision, etc., what would it be?
I don't think I'm undoing any of the moves because every move has made sense. Like, even though the Kemba Walker thing didn't work out.
This is the whole Leon era. All of it.
Yeah, but even... I don't think there is one that I would, like, specifically undo, mainly because, like, whatever move specifically happened, like, did get the Knicks into this specific place and time. And I think they are in a very good place, both, like, in the immediate and long term. So there isn't really anything I would do that's actually, that, like, I guess not sign Noel, but, like, that'd be like the only thing, but to me, that's not even that big of a deal to me because I don't hate Noel as much as everyone else does.
This is easy for me. It would very obviously be not starting Elfrid Payne for an entire fucking season. That was a terrible decision at the time. It was terrible when it was happening. It is probably the reason they felt like they needed to sign Kemba Walker, which not a huge deal, but is a mistake, and
yeah, that's fair.
Is one that could have easily been avoided if we had just played the good players more last year. And it also, you know, it also led to, you know, look, Frank obviously left in the offseason. I thought the easy fix with that rotation last year was either starting Quickly or Rose, sliding Frank in to that bench spot and going in there. Maybe we keep him. I don't think it's a huge deal that he's not there, but it was a mistake, and ultimately it cost them a 22-year-old player who, yes, flawed offensively, has, you know, he's not anywhere near a perfect player, definitely has utility, definitely would be useful on a team like this that has, it is not exactly deep on the wing. I think that definitely qualifies as a mistake, and it's a mistake that, again, it's not like none of them in isolation, none of the ramifications of it in isolation are huge. Signing Kemba to 2 years, $18 million, and letting Frank go. These are not moves that are necessarily going to set back the franchise in any serious way, but they are mistakes, and they're mistakes that come from the place of starting Elfrid Payne for an entire fucking season and not giving yourself the chance to see what Quickly could do with the starters, what Rose might have done with the starters. Shit, he's starting Burks right now with the starters. So, like, you know, you could just, maybe you could just do that last year and have Frank play where Burks did. Like, it's just such a bad decision at that time. And, you know, maybe they let Frank go either way, but no matter how you feel about that, there's no question that based on current evidence, signing Kemba Walker was a mistake. And maybe it's one that you don't make. You know, look, they obviously took a shot on a former All-Star who they thought maybe could get right here. Maybe he still does. I don't know. I'm skeptical, but, you know, seasons are long. You never know what happens. Based on current evidence, that was a mistake. And it was a mistake that they made because they felt that they needed to upgrade the point guard situation. And now we're looking at it, and it seems like the point guard situation is fine. It's good, even without Kemba, because Quickly made a leap. Burks is versatile. Rose is Rose. Like, you know, sure, maybe, you know, obviously you could still use an upgrade there potentially, but you know, Kemba wasn't necessarily a certified upgrade. It was a calculated risk. And maybe they don't have to calculate that risk if they just made the obvious decision last year. So that would be the one that I would hit undo on. If there was another, probably. Yeah, I mean, I would probably say the Noel thing, not because I think he sucks, but I just wish we had a center who was a bigger, set screens better. Shout out Jericho Sims, who actually set screens. I just think we needed a different. I just wanted a different profile of center to come in instead of keeping Noel. But yeah, that's not really like I'm not sitting there like, oh my god, this, what a regretful move. And I don't really regret signing Kemba. I just think that is the result of what happened last year with Elfrid Payton.
To be fair, I didn't realize Alex was asking about Tibbs decisions, and that I was thinking it was strictly like a front office, big picture management thing. So that's what I get for not being literate with the questions. But the Payton one it is pretty obvious. But like, I do think though, like even with Payton, like the idea of like losing Frank, like it's really not that big a deal. Even though I'd much rather him on this team, even like right now on this team.
I'd much rather have him on this team than Kemba.
Right, exactly. Like there's like these like little things I would rather have, but they're also to me like not. I don't think they're like massive franchise altering decisions. The Payton one is going to always be interesting because just given how quickly has developed, like how we saw him as a rookie, we're like, oh, he's a lot better than we expected. Then he's taking another leap this year. It would be interesting to determine whether or not like him like quickly being on the bench has resulted into him like finding the motivation to improve. So that would be an interesting like ramification to like potentially dive into like that side effect. It was actually a good thing that quickly came off the bench, but definitely from like a basketball standpoint and even like a fan perspective, just watching the games, it would have been much, much better just having quickly and Rose take up all 48 point guard minutes and call it a day.
The other thing too is it also like, I mean, you could have just started Frank instead of fucking Payton. So even if you end up making the Kemba mistake, which again, I hate making it sound like it's some like fucking major thing. It's really not. But if you end up making that same decision, it's like less because of your own stupidity and more just because you took a chance on like you watched the full season. Frank obviously would not have been the answer at point guard. But you would have been like, okay, well, we need to upgrade a point guard, and that's why we're making this move. Whereas like with Payton, it's like, yeah, we did need to make an upgrade a point guard. But now because quickly he's made the leap, you're kind of sitting there like, well, why didn't we just play him more last year? That's what it is. But anyway.
And that's like, and that's currently the main issue with the Knicks right now, right? It's just basically like, why aren't we just playing quickly
more? Right.
And it's going to be very interesting for like the next, I'll say like quarter of the season. What's gonna happen with this team? Like, is the Burks thing actually gonna work out, or are we just gonna sit here and continue being like, yeah, even though Burks is fine and better than Kemba, like quickly still the answer at point guard, and they're still not doing it. And like, what's the hold up there? So that's gonna be interesting.
Yeah, definitely with you. All right, next question. This is from Jax365. With the Kemba news coming out yesterday, Monday, do you see the front office moving him, and for what?
I don't know, especially because Kemba has two fully guaranteed years. It's not a lot of money, but he has two fully guaranteed years, and he looks pretty washed out there, at least in terms of like playing the role that he needs to play for the Knicks. Now, maybe if he's in a different team, coming off the bench, it would be better for him, and he won't look as washed as he currently does. But like, I don't know, like, what team is like clamoring for a point guard, especially like one who is, you know, small, coming off the knee stuff. I don't even know how it would work unless like the Lakers are desperate because like the Westbrook experiment
like needs, you know, they need someone who can actually shoot the ball. Kevin can still shoot, like, I guess the Lakers, but it's like, what do they have that's worth it? Like, I don't know. I guess they're going to try to move him. I just don't see a realistic team that would make sense.
Yeah, I mean, I think there'll be some interest in him. He's definitely not what he was. But I think there'll be a team that looks at him and they're like, yeah, well, you know, we put him in, take him, we put him on the bench and use him in that capacity. You know, that can work for us. The guy I just keep coming back to, just because I think it's inevitable that he gets traded, is Eric Gordon. He also has a big expiring contract effectively next season, because his money for 2023-24 season is non-guaranteed, so next year of his deal is effectively the last year of his deal if you want it to be. Which, look, we know that the Knicks are in some way or form trying to eventually have the salaries to make trade for a star. I think that he obviously gives you another salary to throw in there, one bigger than Kemba. The Knicks also have a Kevin Knox expiring that they can throw into any trade. So, you know, just salary-wise, looking at it, Kemba and Knox is enough to match Eric Gordon in trade salary. That saves the Rockets something like $4.5 million this year, and it also saves them plenty of money next year because Knox is expiring and Kemba makes $10 million less than Eric Gordon does next year. So I think that would be appealing to Tillman Fertitta. I also think that, you know, you can just sweeten the pot, throw in a couple of second-round picks. The Knicks have acquired plenty. These are ways to use them, so I would be very comfortable doing that. I think Eric Gordon is a pretty solid player. I like the way I think, you know, I don't really care what percentage he shoots. He's shooting like something like 42 or 43% or something from three this year. But he's like a pretty rugged guy. He can switch multiple positions a lot easier than Kemba can. He's demonstrated that in the playoffs. He's been a key cog on actual good, very good teams, very good defensive teams and offensive teams in his career. His spacing is very, very real. He is willing to shoot from 25, 30 feet, and teams have to honor him. Even if he doesn't shoot the greatest clip, teams honor his spacing. We obviously know that's pretty key with this team. And if the Knicks are going down this path of like, we're not necessarily, we don't have a true point guard, quote unquote, at this point, so let's just get as many guys who can dribble, pass, shoot and see what happens. I think Gordon makes a lot of sense. I think he would fit into that starting lineup pretty well. And then you can maybe throw Burks back in to that bench unit, and Grimes goes back to being the 11th man. Is that ideal? Is that, you know, the you know, you want to create pathways for your young guys like Grimes and McBride? Yeah, sure. But like, you also, you know, if you can effectively get a guy like Gordon for not that much, I think that's a pretty good deal. And I would be very willing to do that if I were the Knicks. Now, is Houston going to get better offers? Maybe. I don't know. He's playing really well this year, but what team is going to give you a first for Eric Gordon? I'd be kind of surprised. Is there a team that's going to give you a legitimate prospect for Eric Gordon at age 32 making that money? I don't think so. So I kind of feel like what the Knicks would be offering is a pretty decent offer. And look, we already saw what they did with Rose last year. They basically got him for effectively nothing. You know, I'm not sure that Houston would totally pass on that. Like, I don't think they're going to jump on it right now. If you offered it right now, I doubt they'd pull the trigger. But that's a competitive offer, in my opinion, come the trade deadline, potentially. And, you know, that's the one that I have just, like, kind of zeroed in on as something that makes sense. So, yeah, I mean, that's just one off the top of my head. I'm not sure individually, Kemba, like, is there a team that just wants him? And
yeah, I don't see, like, an actual team, like, wanting him. Like I said, unless it's, like, the Lakers. But, like, that would more than likely involve some sort of, like, buyout situation, I guess, from the Knicks end.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't even know if the Lakers have the salary to even match.
Yeah, the Lakers situation is also pretty weird because they don't have a lot of salaries to throw in a deal. And the Knicks are obviously not, like, last year they were way under the cap, so they didn't need to salary match in trades. This year that's not the case. But, you know, just looking at their contracts, you know, they got Kendrick Nunn, who's on $5 million this year, and he has a player option for $5.25 million next year. Is that, and like, you know, Malik Monk on a minimum, I think that just about gets you there.
Yeah, that like basically gets you there, but still, like, you know, it's just kind of.
And
like,
are they going to do that? Do they want to do that even? Like, do they really want, you know, like, do they want?
It's just like two guys who need to like prove themselves, basically.
Yeah, I mean,
right? Like, you don't, and like they're like younger guys who are trying to figure out like what are their new roles going to be. Well, maybe not Kendrick Dunn, but at least for Malik Monk, it's like, what is your role going to be in the NBA moving forward? At least for Gordon, there's at least kind of definitive, like, you can basically, if you're to do a Gordon trade, you can swap, you can basically move quickly to the starting lineup, Burks back to the bench, and you can have like Rose, Gordon filling quickly spot, and then Burks on the bench, which is a pretty solid like veteran lineup who can kind of do things. So it would be interesting for Eric Gordon. Like, it's definitely a certain one. I would only do it though if you actually start quickly. Like, I wouldn't actually start Gordon at the point that I feel like that just kind of, like, you're right, like you were mentioning before, it doesn't give a pathway for the younger players to like grow and succeed. And that would be a perfect way for quickly to like get his strength.